let's lower that music. For a second there, I wasn't sure if our music was going to start. There was like a little banjo jamboree happening there. Alicia, it got a little fun and crazy. All right. It is 2 o'clock on a Thursday, which means it is time for the Aging Well Together show. So excited. I am always, but I'm always looking forward, but today's show, fabulous. My longtime colleague and friend, Valerie Jurek, is here to talk about aging in place and her development work with the Ageless Home. We're going to get all into the fun aging and housing and preparing topics. I am so excited for all we're going to discuss. But before we dive into our show, as always, I want to give a shout out to WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro on 103.5 FM for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. The Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the tremendously and wonderfully helpful team at the Orange County Department on Aging. For our returning guests, you know you can join us each week as we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. You can catch us live every Thursday from 2 to 3, or you can stream us live through WCOMFM.org, or you can listen to any of our previous shows, aka our podcasts, through the Orange County Department on Aging's website, which is, this is where I pause, so you can get a pen and some paper. You can hear our podcast on the website, which is www.orangecountync.gov/aging. orangecountync.gov/aging. And on the website, you can find links to our Aging Well Together radio show, yay, as well as a host of helpful other resources about services in Orange County, North Carolina. If you have questions about any of the resources we discuss on the show, or if you want to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, you can either call the Department on Aging at 919-968-2070, or feel free to email me at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. I've been getting some great emails, so I will say that again, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. And I actually think Valerie didn't realize it was me. I think you reached out to the Aging Well Together show, and then I'm like, Valerie, it's Heather. Of course.
Surprise.
Of course. Come on the show. So as always, before we get into our show, I want to give a shout out to the wonderful band, the Carrboro Bass Band, the Robert Bradford Quartet, for allowing us to use their great music for our opening music. You just heard it for a moment, but you'll hear a lot more at the end, our closing music. And she's back, my fabulous co-host. That's you, Alicia. Alicia Reed, the incomparable wellness instructor, one of the instructors with the Orange County Department on Aging. And she is here with us in our fun and quirky WCOM studio. Hi,
hey,
Alicia.
Hey, Heather, and welcome.
Oh, thank you.
I know. New friends are meeting each other. You keeping cool? It's hot outside.
It's cool in here, though.
I know.
It was hot in here.
I've been.
She warned me, so look how I dress. And then she said, I'm going to take pictures afterwards. I'm kidding.
She said, is there video? And I was like, no, it's just audio. And the studio's been super hot. I've been kvetching. I've been kvetching. The last few weeks.
It's hot in here.
But we are all wearing like sleeveless. It still gets hot in here. All right. Now for me, besides my penchant for kvetching, I am Heather Altman. I've spent over 25 years working in aging services and supports. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and at 53, I am focusing on my own changing needs. Thus, it's hot in here. So I am super invested in how we are all aging well together. I know. All right. We have so much to discuss. I want to turn the microphone over to Valerie Jurek, but I do want to love on her for a little bit. I'm going to share some of the bio, though she'll share more about herself. But Valerie Jurek is here. She is a housing entrepreneur, a real estate broker, an educator, author, and national speaker on aging in place. As a former CEO and certified aging in place specialist, she has over 25 years of diversified experience in the housing and healthcare industries. This experience revealed where available housing is falling short of providing what is truly needed in the home, regardless of abilities, age, or phase of life. And she's going to talk with us all about the development of the ageless home, where she can meet needs and services as meeting needs and services has been a platform of Valerie's work and her passion in helping people live better lives. She's a highly sought after national speaker. She does lots of education. In fact, we were together at the Senior Center a few days ago doing an education. So I'm just going to stop there because we're just so excited to have her on Aging Well Together. Welcome, Valerie.
Well, thank you. Cheers.
I know we need our sound machine.
Thank you.
It's great for you to be here.
It's been a while, Mama.
I know. And yet, twice this week, maybe, well, we're going to talk about in a little bit why we were together earlier this week. But as we always do, before we dive into like the deep content and context of the work, tell our listeners a little bit about you. They're going to listen in a second and say, that's not a Southern accent. Talk about where you're from and your background and how you got all up into housing and construction and aging.
15 years and I still haven't gotten rid of that Northern accent. Huh?
No, it's where you're and you shouldn't.
Oh, what's up with that? I'm from Brooklyn. Can you?
Stay on, listeners.
All
right. I moved here in 2008. So the story of Valerie, how I got into healthcare, is at a very young age. I started when I was 14. It was in New York, a big snowstorm. My mom worked in the hospital. People in the hospital could not show up. Nurses, doctors, the food people, no one showed up. So school was out. Mom called, said, get your butt up here. And I walked all the way. It's like the old, you know, when I walked in the snow, like 15 miles of blizzard, right? So anyway, I go there and I started helping out with the food and everything else. And I just fell in love with the aging population. Because the people, everything I could do at 14.
It's so fun. And I started at 14, too.
It's crazy.
These foundational teenage years where we're like, this is.
I started at 10.
You started at
March of Dimes.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yes, going door to door. I did that, too. Yeah. Wait a second. Amening you.
It's okay. We're all in the same fields. We should talk together, right? Yeah. Or have the same experience. So at 14, I was introduced to the aging population. At 16, I started working in medical equipment companies. Mm. People discharged from the hospital, wheelchairs, Medicare, you know, wheelchairs, hospital beds, respiratory, all that stuff. My entire career, I focused on that. So all the way through my entire life, I was with medical equipment companies. I was supervisors, managers, and soon to be owner of my own. And plus, I opened up a home remodeling company when I came to North Carolina. So medical equipment, home remodeling, dealt with the veterans, and so forth and so on. My whole passion, my entire life and career is based on not just the aging population, which it fell to that, but people with needs, no matter, regardless of age. So moving forward, that's kind of how I fell into the industry that I'm in, and I stayed, and I just fell in love with, and I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, I love that. All right, we have so many follow-up questions, but I do have a quick comment. I don't know, Alicia, did I get it from you or from another one of our colleagues a few days ago? When you mentioned medical equipment, it just reminded me that our friends at the Orange County Department on Aging, they do have a medical equipment like library, walkers,
and that's great.
That can be given out,
yes,
that can be picked up.
All kinds of adaptive equipment that can be, you know, donated, as you said, or given. And I heard that they could use some more donations. So listeners, if you are in the Orange County area and you do have walkers and other...
The wheelchairs, walkers.
Not being used anymore.
Quad canes, anything in usable... It's still usable, as
clean
a sense
and
of...
Sometimes some transfer things that worked in the shower.
The tub benches. Yeah.
If you have anything like that, give a call over to the Orange County Department on Aging or bring it over. I'm so sorry, Valerie, but I realized I got an email about that a few days ago.
I'm all about it.
All right. So then you were in durable medical equipment.
Mm-hmm.
How did you start to then get into housing and construction?
Oh, here we go. So when I moved to North Carolina in 2008, I started my own company, which was medical equipment, mainly fell into, by default, the veterans, right? Ceiling lifts and stair lifts and ramps and all this stuff. I do everything from 4x4 gauze pads to life support systems. You name it, I've done it. I can create wheelchairs just by moving the eyes and laser tech with the brain cells and all this stuff. So anyway, so when I got to North Carolina, I was delivering things to houses and I'm like, I have a bariatric bed that fell through the floor. The guy was laying in it still. I'm like, what is going on?
And bariatric means for a larger person.
Yes, a larger person, right? So his weight in the bed, the weight of the bed fell through the floor. He's been like that for months. And then I'm like, what in the world? And what happened? And well, I can't use my motorized chair because it doesn't fit through the door. the bed was too heavy for the floor and this and everything else, right? So what started happening, I'm like, why isn't anybody looking at the housing and helping for the housing? And long story short, the VA had a lot of, grants they put out, yes. The HISA grant and so forth. So I started getting involved with that, and I was doing the medical equipment and the housing part, the National Association of Home Builders, right? Yes. So I started looking at them. I'm saying, you know, I need to figure out what's going on housing here in North Carolina or the U.S. And I'm a very educated, like I love to be educated as well to educate.
You are a curious soul.
I
you
am
love
amazing.
To learn and hunting and gathering, you
yes.
gather information.
And then I share. This
yes,
is a good
do.
Thing, I share. So I got into housing because I went to the National Association of Home Builders and they had this certification called Certified Aging in Place. So what's aging in place? And I know you want to talk about that later.
Yes.
We're not going to talk about that now.
That's okay.
But through the years of having my equipment and delivering to people and seeing the conditions of the houses they're living in, I got a $30,000 wheelchair from Medicare, a power chair. But Valerie, I can't even get it in my house because Medicare does not pay for a ramp.
For the ramp.
I'm like, what? And then if we get them in the house with the ramp, well, the doors are only 28 inches wide or 30. Mm-hmm. They need to be at least 34, 36. So the standard of building homes, you know, the codes and the standards are the same way for 100 years.
I know. I measured
100 years.
We've had two guests that wanted to come in wheelchairs, and I think we are okay, but I measured them. I thought we were 36, but I'm not sure. You'll have to tell
so
me.
So this is what happens. Your frame could be 36, but
then,
when you open the door, the butt of the door comes out and you lose 2 inches.
Exactly.
Right.
And
right?
So we haven't tested it yet, but we'll do it before you leave. But yes.
I have an answer for you.
Which is?
There's something called offset hinges. So instead of the standard hinges, like you have offset hinges, so when you open the door, that door will lean closer to the window flat, and you give you
see,
the whole framework.
See, you're getting advice
it opens
right here
up
for
the hinge.
Yep.
Right.
We're changing studios in the fall, but I just, again, I'm living it because people are the doorways are more accessible.
It's,
so
it's,
keep going.
Yes,
so these
the doorways
issues.
And the hallways. If you housing in and of itself, but how it's been for 100 years. There's a living room. There's a kitchen.
Bathroom.
There's a bathroom. There's a dining room. There's a box. A box. A box. But why?
And where the outlets are. The
right.
outlets
oh.
are down low.
Right.
Or
right.
The,
so you have a box and a box and a box. 100 years ago, we didn't have heating the way we have today. There was a fireplace in each room. So you had to close all the doors. If you're in the dining room eating, you would put that fireplace and stay warm and so forth, right? But we still keep that way. For the most part, it's starting to change or not. But right, the outlets, how low they are on the floor, you got to bend down. Mm-hmm. Even light switches if someone's in a chair.
If too high up.
Or too high up or a child. So the whole thing about the way housing is, and I spent the last 7.5 years talking to people, and the aging population, yes, them, but people with disabilities. I'm not saying, I don't really like the word disability. We have abilities at different levels, right?
Yes.
So then you talk and what works and what doesn't work in the house. So I started putting that all together. I started doing studies. I started getting my certifications about building, and I started getting involved in the building industry. And then I came up with the ageless home. And right before COVID, we were building it here in North Carolina. We had quite a few. And then
COVID.
Boom. That's it.
Oh, well, we're just jumping ahead. So which do you want to do? Should we want to take
I'm
a
sorry.
Step back?
You just
say,
get me talking.
Well, I want to hear about the ageless home, but I feel like we need to do some context building, which is the certified aging in place is your specialty. Literally, you have the designation. And we've had some other shows where we talked about it. Esther Greenhouse was on, talked about it. Our OTs came on, occupational therapist Marie Dagger talked about how to make your home more safe and but when you use a lot, and there's been mixed feelings about the term, but what does aging in place mean to you?
And it's a little different than most people speak about how it means to me.
You've got a microphone.
Okay, so you talk about aging in place. Aging is people and in places at home. So how do we keep people at home for as long as possible throughout the ages, if you think of it that way, right? And most people say, oh, there's 5 things. You need proper home design. You need financial. You need community. You need transportation. You need, right? So you have all these things you need. So a lot of people can look at it and say, okay, if I have the financial and I have, but I need the transportation, I need community. Because if you're staying and we get your house where you can live in it safely, you can age in that sense of it. But it's more, aging in place is more than just the house design. It's more than, there's all these little parts that go with it. But here's the other side of it that not many people are talking about. So say we have the great home design. Say you have the financials, you have the community, you have the transportation, you have all that healthcare, you have all a lot of things that you're. We started creating something else, isolation.
Yes. Well, that's where you had said community, but it's like, what do we really need?
Yes.
To need by
so,
community?
So. Community, most people say, well, get out there and talk to people. So just like now, and I know you're very big into the independent and assisted livings, and I have nothing to say.
I like informed choice. Okay. I want people to have choices, and if it's staying at home, making sure that home supports them. If they,
I support both. So that, I'm not holding the flag for one or the other, right. But both sides have a situation we need to look at, but no one's really talking about. So say if you go to assisted living, ILs, CCRCs, no matter where you go, yes, they say we have the events and we have things for people to do. We have things for you to do, and we'll keep you who eat with people, make friends. It's get rid of loneliness, get rid of. But the problem is this. When you go back in your apartment and you close the door, what happens? Right. You're isolated, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't have that gregarious, if you don't have that outward forward personality that when you open the door and you see someone maybe come down the hallway, you say, hey, I'm Valerie. What are you doing today? Can I play cards with you? Can I have dinner with you? Can I have breakfast with you? Do you mind spending time with me? Can I tell you my story? The problem is most people in these places are female and they're introverted. They may not have been when they were younger, but as we get older, look, I'm going to be 62 this year, and I was younger, woohoo! But now, I kind of step back, and I think, and I'm quiet, and I'm not as forward-thinking or more, whatever you want to say, active, whatever.
That's true.
And so I wait for people to ask me. I find myself doing it, even though I was that personality when I was younger.
There. Right? I'm 65, and
you're,
I get
okay,
that.
You're 65?
You do, and you do. You don't. Stepping back.
That's right. Right? So if you go to these wonderful places, the assisted living, the independent living, anything you think about, what happens if I open that door? Am I hoping someone's that down the hallway? This woman I met.
Always need the social ambassador of the places. I went to a place recently and literally walked in and someone's like, hi, welcome, where are you from? And those communities always need that, those different people.
All the time.
Right, but they can do it for that moment, and I agree with you. They can do it for that moment, that day, maybe take them out for the trip for 2 days, but it's the lifestyle. You cannot enforce somebody to change their personality. We can offer anything we want, but what's going to make that person, that individual soul, that individual being change? You can't undo to redo a thought or a being. You're not going to undo the person. So aging in place at home is great if you have all of this and people come and visit, but are you also creating isolation just like you can in any community? So I'm not saying one's better than the other. There's a plenty of choices out there.
And there's a lot of people. Demographically, there are so many people out there that we need to have. And I had a long conversation with someone yesterday. I just want to see as many choices and resources out there for folks locally and
to know that they are those choices.
Yeah, it's what we have. What we have now, the best of what we have now. How do we use it?
Exactly. And so, you know, that's why that term is always interesting, aging in place. There was a big push a bunch of years ago to call it aging in community as opposed to aging in place, though they hand in hand. Or that whole issue, which I think is so much of your passion, which is, are you aging in a place that your home supports you, or are you frailing in place or isolating in place because your home isn't supporting you? And so then you can come in to say, well, let's get your home better for you.
But is your home just a brick and mortar? Is the home everything involving? We call I'm at home, but are you at home with? Are you at home? Do you have? Mm-hmm. Is it the home brick and mortar yourself? Like we say, it goes more than that.
And we were just traveling. And to me, home is like wherever my toothbrush and my suitcases and a loved one is with me. And I'm like, let's go home. And I just mean the hotel or wherever we're staying at. So, it's that bigger sense of peace.
There is no 100% here. Just to throw it out there, I don't think there's 100% or anything. No answer at this moment.
Okay, so then as you go forth with this philosophy of how to support people in their home, wherever they call, and then there was also this, we want you to be supported wherever you call home, so aging in place in their homes. Talk about your kind of movement to the ageless home. Let's just get into it, and then I'll go.
It's a great segue. This is a great segue.
Thank you,
Heather.
You're welcome.
So, as I just spoke about, you can have the perfect place and the people and the design is great and have community, but once they close the door, what happens? And that's a big about isolation that we're really not speaking that much about. So now, the ageless home. The end of last year, I hired a marketing company, a very good marketing company, and I said, this is the ageless home. Through design and product placement, the house ages with you. Whether you're from a newborn to the last breath you take, whether you're in a chair, whether you're 7 feet tall, 5 feet tall, you'll never have, my kitchens have no upper cabinets on them. And there's a lot of designs in here. Ooh. Everything's pull-out drawers. All the countertops are like 35 inches, not 32. It's a European bathroom where the commodes are into the wall and it's a floating sink. All of that for design, regardless of age, regardless of ability, the house ages with you. Now, keep that in mind. Okay. Then COVID came.
She's so excited,
yeah. Then, you can tell, right? Mm-hmm. Then COVID came, and so the houses weren't be able to built in 2020, 21. I took out for a while, and I said, what
supply
am I doing?
Supply chain issues then.
Right. So the end of last year, I hired a marketing team, and I said, this is my idea, ladies. This is what I have. I'm going to step out, toss it around, and tell me how I can bring this to the public. As is, or what...
You hired a marketing team. You could have just, like, asked me and Alicia.
I know.
We're awesome, and we have microphones.
Everybody, I'm an ombudsman. I'm telling you.
We could have just spitballed it on air and
all right,
like,
wait. Okay, hold on.
So, for lunch.
So anyway, what happened is that... Is it my mic just go down again?
I just a little bit, because it was a little loud.
Okay. My headphone's not, but we're good. Okay. So anyway, so we're back to the house. So, okay, so they came back, and they said, okay... After like 2 months, like, sit down. We have three options for you. Mm-hmm. So my heart's in my hands. Like, I get to get my baby over to be rebranded, right? And I'm like, So they came over and they gave me option number one. Option number two. So you know when you go to buy a house, they throw you three houses. The first one is terrible.
HGTV.
The second one maybe. The third one, like,
is
yes,
Valerie
right?
going to choose the marketing plan that gives her this and this, or is she going to choose
door
the
number one or door number two?
Mid-century modern with an open kitchen and go on.
No. So it was a way how to present. So one, two, not so much. So I said, Valerie, this is what we think you need to do. Have you ever heard of the show The Golden Girls?
Oh,
I'm like, really? Right?
Everybody loves, yes.
Sophia, what's the matter? You don't like that show?
Yeah, I do. Everybody. Everybody loves
The Golden Girls. What's The Golden Girls? Four women living in a house, sharing expenses, sharing their lives and doing that. They said, let's go back at the ages home with four separate en suites.
Mm-hmm.
The bathrooms. Full bathrooms,
that
full
is such
bedrooms.
An HGTV term, by the way, ensuite. And I just learned that a few years ago. Ensuite means you have the bedroom
and the bathroom, the full bath.
Like the ensuite bathroom. Right. I'm like, oh, that means the bathroom is in with it. Go on. Right.
So these rooms are pretty big, like 16 by 20. Mm-hmm. And then full, you have a queen bed. You can have a sofa. You can have a bed. So the room and the bathroom is all yours. Mm-hmm. Independent. You fill it. You decorate it. Whatever. The living space, the living room, the dining area is all furnished. We furnish that for you. So all that is aging furniture, which that means not old furniture. It's like the couches are raised, the furniture was raised. You don't have to sink so slow. Everything is with height and age in mind and ability in mind. So these homes, and everyone rents their room. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about, okay, I have the house. You don't have to worry about the expenses of the house and everything else. So they're rentals. Now,
and
so,
it's at the independent living level, because some of it... I'm so sorry. I won't jump
in. No, that's good. You get me excited when you talk my language.
I hate when I tell stories and someone jumps in and tells my ending, so keep going.
No, so that's our version of independent living. Yeah. Okay, without... Now, I know a lot of independent livings. They say an 800-square-foot home. It depends. It's like four or five. We were just talking about that. Mm-hmm. Heather was at my talk the other day, how expensive it is. Okay? So independent living, we're talking about more than half less of the cost of what they're doing now. And we have affiliated partnerships to bring in services.
That's
vetted affiliated partner. Whether it's, say, if you need PT, you need OT, you need to bring in health care, you need your home care. What if we have chefs, we have you want a massage, you want someone to
this
pick you up and
fancy.
Dream it.
This got a little luxury. Go on. I'm interested.
But that's just
Alicia gave a look like, this might be too, and I'm like,
But these are partnerships we have. It doesn't cost to have it. We're making these affiliations. We're making these partnerships that, and if you want it, these are people you can bring. So to say, it kind of becomes a little bit of assisted living for you as you're at this house.
Because the services can change, though.
Right.
Well, you keep going, because I you may know where I'm going to start asking questions, because we talked about this. What about? So what, because this is, it's a great idea. And the question is financial, you know, I think
affordability.
Affordability for the people renting, but also the interest in developers to actually build it. And then in this town and county, I don't know the exact, whether it's Orange County or Carver or Chapel Hill, four unrelated people living together is against some of the zoning rules. And so, you know, how to address that. So
okay.
I'll
go down.
And I've already asked her this.
Yeah, we went through this already. So okay.
Just not on air.
So go to the first question.
About the affordability and developers.
So for what I'm looking at, we have a 21 to 2300 square foot ranch style home. Do you know how big that is? For a ranch, style
nice
is all one floor, all under one roof, just like the Golden Girls. Mm-hmm. We don't have a lanai, but we have a screened-in porch.
Okay, got it.
Sound a deck. Anyway, the houses themselves are ranches, and they're big, and they're whatever. So each room to rent is according to the size of the home that we build. We're going to build 1,600 square foot homes. We're going to build 2,700, mm-hmm. pretty much all in the same idea of ranch. Now, it's the most expensive type of house to build is ranch.
Is it?
Yes. It takes up more land. We're not going, if you look at a regular house that's two floors, right. say it's 40 feet, but then you're doing another box on top of it, that's 40. So you're only 40 wide. So if you're going, you're going to be 90 something feet long. And
yeah. I heard once what makes it's a like house some, expensive, I hadn't thought about that, is how many corners you have. Like how.
Oh, that could be in rectal design. Yeah, because
yes, it's rectangular design. But I hadn't thought about it. Yes, if you're the land, how much land it's
yeah.
taking
so
up.
Yeah, so when the bigger the roof, yes. the more expensive. Just think of it that way.
Oh, good to know.
All right. So anyway, these homes, so you're talking about rent. Yes, the size of the home determines the rent. So if I'm talking about a 2,100 square foot, and then again, here's the other size. Where's this land going? Where's this home being? Is it going to be in Chapel Hill?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it going to be in Oxford?
Yes.
Is it going to be in Greenville?
Right.
Right. So where are we going? Every county is different. And by the way, I just had a meeting with one of the counties yesterday, and we have five more that are talking to us. So
yeah, that's what's exciting.
And every county is very, very different in mm-hmm. pricing. So I'm not talking, I think the most we got so far was $2,000. That was the highest.
$2,000 would be the rent
mm-hmm.
for one. Yeah, and that's not
inclusive. It's all inclusive.
That's yeah. all inclusive. So what it is, but this, so forget about just renting a room.
Oh, because that also includes
this
food?
Is what it does. No. Oh, forget the food. Because independent, there's
talking.
No food, right?
I'm not
there's
talking.
No food. So what this does, what are you renting a room? What did I say what happens with aging in place in these apartments? You go in the door, you shut it, and what happens? Isolation.
Yes.
So by having rooms and you come out of your bedroom and you just live your life and you share a kitchen together, it's co-living. Co-living is co-caring. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the biggest messages I have for everyone, because it's not forcing anybody to come out, but just by default, in the way the house is designed, how people live, you're going to cross paths. You're going to know that someone's right next door. You can come out of your door. It's a very different. So what am I bringing? A rental. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All the services that we're partnered with come in. If you ever have a need for anything in healthcare, it can come in.
Mm-hmm.
By default, my version of getting my solution or giving my contribution to isolation.
And so then the people that live there together, is the hope that friends or siblings would come together, or is there like a matching process?
Very good. Here we go. She's really good. She's on this.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, so the part of the ages home is this. So someone's like, yes, I love it, Valerie, I'm by myself. And how do I know these other three people? And it's all, first of all, it's all for women only. We're starting with women only.
That's a key. Yeah.
Okay. Because women naturally will cohabitate. Okay. And this is only phase
you
one.
You told me that, but I've read that's
right.
a key thing.
That's a very big key thing.
Sorry, male listeners.
No, but wait a second. This is only phase one. Phase two, we're doing single residential homes, and there's a phase three of ageless homes. It just keeps going. But right now, we're having the rentals. Mm-hmm. So we have the rental, and by default, loneliness and isolation were taken care of.
Okay.
What was the other thing you had just asked about?
Well,
oh, the compatibility. Compatibility.
The compatibility.
Right.
Issue.
So if someone says, Valerie, who am I going with? We have a compatibility app that we're developing right now. And what that means, you heard of...
And you're developing, like, because, mm-hmm. you know, Match.com and eHarmony and all the dating
sites. No, we're doing our own.
Is,
no, this is...
And there are all techie.
There's a few out there already that match compatibility. So we have a compatibility app, and we're trying to figure out who works with who. And it's, you heard of Myers-Briggs, but this is another version of that called Insights, and that you just answer questions, and it gives you a personality. Mm. Everybody has a color. Red, blue, green, yellow.
I've done one of those.
Red is like... the business type go-getter. I'm a yellow entrepreneur out in the clouds all the time, right?
So. But I feel like it was kind of like when I did it years ago, if it's the same one, it was like blue with like green, rising green. It's kind of like I'm a
you can
Libra
have two.
With a Scorpio
right.
rising or whatever. You know,
there can
like,
be two colors, but that's basically who you are.
Yeah.
So if you take the compatibility app, is basically that, right? And it kind of gives you that, but it doesn't tell you who likes to play canasta or who wants to have pickleball and who wants to do that. So we have the matching personalities, we take them out to lunch. And we have these people just meet each other. And that's how you really get. So we kind of know from the deep side of your psychological side who you are as a person. You're a neat freak. You don't like loud noises. Whatever it is that you're not going to have in a general conversation. Let's just call it what it is. And then you get to talk to people. You like this one? You don't like this one? What's the best way to get four people together? You have to introduce them. You have to let nature take itself from there, and then we're going to find. But we already have people that are coming in, four sets. They already have these four, this four.
You already have people.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not just a theoretical. You already have people.
Yeah, it's happening. We're building these communities.
Oh, you already. So because I was going to get into those questions. Like, okay, so you have the ideas, but are the developers, like, do you already, have you already built these houses? Like,
I didn't build them yet.
So
by the end of the year,
architectural construction people, the pieces of paper with the pretty blue lines on.
So we're going to have an Ageless Home collection. But for the Golden Girls, I'm calling the Golden Girl type houses that were coming out for phase one, is all ranch style homes, but four en suites or bedroom suites. That's the only thing I'll be really talking about right now, because the rest are coming.
Hey, do you have a, not that you're asking my advice, but I'm having fun brainstorming. Do you have a lawyer on the group to say, hey, can you actually say the Golden Girls, or are you going to get a cease and desist?
I can't market that way.
You
saying,
can't say
I can't
saying
with a trademark and say, this is Golden Girls, it's a Golden Girls product, it's this and that. No, but I can use the words Golden Girls in sentencing, like I'm talking to you. So
got
I say,
it,
oh, you know,
how, like
yes, or else
Girl
Disney
show
will be all over me.
Yeah, okay, got it. I was wondering.
But isn't that the same concept of the colleges uses for dormitories
right
when they put
that's
it
a ver- exactly another version of it, right?
I am so glad. I was thinking something else with the colleges sometimes with the study groups and or work groups, student groups, they put it together. Like my kids are in group projects and they did something. But you're right. I did hear that there was a whole way to match with the dorms.
So in the middle center was where everybody made, and then everybody.
Everybody did. Yes. Yeah. So the people I met yesterday, I was in one of the, I was in Pitt County, but one of the areas in Pitt County, and we're talking out there about, I presented there, they're presenting. They're like, okay, we want this here. What is it going to take? You know,
yeah, what is it going to take? Are you like, we need tax incentives? Like, what does
so,
it take?
Yeah, so,
we need, give me land?
So
or,
when the communities, so
you have the developers,
we can come in, right? So it's more like this political, there's government money, there's investor money, there's private investing money. So there's three groups of money that's coming in. And then the county themselves, sometimes they get tax breaks and how we're going. So everybody is so different. We've been talking, I'm like, wow, this is fun. But still, how can we do it? Now they're talking about, well, this area and this area, well, if we do it together, we can all share in, you know, it's really fun how people are starting to talk about doing it, because it's coming. We need housing. You know, Heather.
I mean, we've been talking about this for so long.
We need housing that's affordable. And how do we get it out? I need to start somewhere. I can't have the answer for all genders, but to start with women. And I did a study. I did a 4.5 month study that I sent to investors. And they're like, this is crazy. We got to do this.
And well, that's what's exciting, because I've heard lots of different ideas over the years. But then when, what's it, when the rubber hits the road, whatever, it's like, that's a great idea, but who's going to pay for it? There's either...
That's a big... Right.
You know, so
right,
lots of people have great ideas of how other people should spend money, or, you know, it's like, well, then the developers
I'm talking to investors, so they're really interested.
So they're interested.
They're real estate investors, they're healthcare investors, so you kind of get a little bit of both
and
jamming in on it.
Do you already have... You don't have to tell all of your trade secrets. Do you already have, like, actual home build... I mean, you're a, are you a GC yourself? A general
No, I'm not a GC.
But do you have your home builders... And the developers lined up also, those construction companies, or is that like what stage one and what stage two?
So where we start depends on which builder I can get, right? I can bring in a, I don't say cookie cutter, but I can bring in a large builder in a heartbeat, like Lennar, national build. I don't want to do that. I want to bring in building to the community that we're going in, the area we're going in, local support.
That's
you know, and
there's
how many houses?
Economic development then.
Right.
Local
so it's all about economic development. And I want to be by a college, because I am creating my own products for the aging population. So if they can have the R&D and they can have prototyping there, I already have a place that wants to manufacture it. There are so many things going on right now.
There's so many. And then... And I was talking a few hours ago about all, because of where we are here in the Triangle and with UNC and Duke and NC State and NC Central and A&T, you have so many great, not to mention Durham Tech, you have so many great research opportunities to get students involved, either in terms of the programmatic, but also, I remember years ago at the retirement community where I was working, NC State design students and engineering students were coming.
They were the aging in place. They had their own department, aging in place. It was like 10, 12 years ago.
It was
funded, then debunked.
And they just did a whole, they were just looking at how space was used. And so, oh, this is exciting. So you're pumped up.
I'm looking for any connection. If anybody out there, I'm looking
what
to talk to.
Connection?
Just like you just said, even in the colleges. Like no one knows me because they don't know what I'm doing hasn't produced itself yet, hasn't gone live.
What's it?
Right?
Proof of concept. And it's
right.
Like you gotta,
it's going live. It's already happening. It's just a matter that I do want to work with colleges. I want to have prototypes made of product. I want to do all this stuff. Then you get people to fund it. I will tell you one company that is on board with me is Samsung. I met them at the Consumer Electronics Show in January. They have digital health. They like the Ageless Home. And they're waiting for the Ageless Home to be built so they can come in. So.
Well, you and I will keep talking because I have lots of contacts. It'd be fun, but it'd be... it'll be exciting. Is your plan to do one house? And I'm sort of leading you in because I think I know the answer. But is your plan to do one house or one cluster group of homes and then use that as your, let's get geek out, proof of concept, and then do others and kind of do a lot of programmatic and research on that one house or one group? Or are you doing five groups at once? Like, what's your
goal? Okay, good question, because that, it was, everything was presented to me. My idea was a small community, and that's how I wanted to come out. So what's a small community? I'm thinking seven homes. Mm-hmm. I'm not thinking small communities, 20 to seven homes with four people in per home, and it's all surrounded, and she had the same yard, there's a gazebo back there, there's a raised garden, everybody has raised gardens, every month we bring in live entertainment, all this kind of thing. I need to start small. I need to start small and work everything through in order to duplicate it in other states. Midwest, the investors want to go Midwest, and I'm not ready there. I want to go North Carolina because I live here. I don't feel like uprooting and moving somewhere right now. So this is why I'm pushing it here.
So a question that I have that we have not spoken about offline, you also see other concepts about groupings of tiny homes, and we do have a few of them in North Carolina, a few of them in this area. Right. Some are actual legit tiny homes, and some are just smaller homes. I'm just curious, what do you think of that? It's a slightly different model, but...
It serves its purpose in wonderful ways. Okay, so
we love all choices.
That's exactly what it is. If you have a housing, just think what that is. I have housing. That means you're going to have somebody lay their head on the pillow at night to say and count their blessings, right? So I know with the veterans, they have the whole tiny, the tiny home communities. I'm more around the country, and I do research around the world and all this other stuff. But the tiny communities with the veterans and having that, and I love it. If it brings a solution, if it gives somebody, not a Band-Aid. I'm not talking you can rent this for a month, but you got to get out and go somewhere. I'm talking you call this home. This is where you lay your head. This is where... How could you not? See, I'm going to start going, I start preaching
and
here
in a
second.
And her New York is coming out.
You heard it.
So tiny homes, it did get debunked. And when it came out a few years ago, it was really like pushing it. But you
know what? Tiny homes got debunked?
The sense of it being really big community, it did. It's lost its
flair. You're putting people, to me, back into an isolation mode, which you're trying to get out of. You're trying to get a community. So you have a small community of homes, like small homes, and people just go in them, and they're just tiny homes.
The community, then you have something, so this is where I fell short, I think. You can make those communities, but the environment of which the communities are in, the land, the community, you need to make it interactive with itself, and you can, according to how houses are turned or things you do, but they didn't. They just put a bunch of houses down on land.
And again, it depends on the goal, I think, and I want to say it right. I think there were some communities that were about housing unhoused folks. There were other communities about veterans. So again, what is the ultimate goal? Getting someone a pillow and shelter versus
interaction
avoiding
loneliness, avoiding isolation. Right. If people have the money to do these projects, there's a term called built environment. And I just read about it. It's built environment, not only building the brick and mortar of the home, but the environment of which it's in. How do we get people to be aware of one another? It's not agricultural neighborhoods. They're huge in the West. I can't get them off the ground over here on the East Coast, but it's acres of land, and there's live farms. You have farmers farming the land. There's a restaurant, farm-to-table restaurant in the community. Everybody can serve and pick their own. I mean, it's beautiful.
It's futuristic, doable.
It's very doable.
And there are some creative, like we have here in Orange County, the community that came together around individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities and substance use.
Exactly.
And so it's also and I was using the term yesterday with someone, sort of a collective bargaining, where if you can bring people together that have some similar needs, and there's a little bit that's happening with I think, the ageless home model, where then you can bring in services and a group of people are all together. So then you're not paying for one-on-one, but you've got a group of people, and so if you need some additional services and support, you're in the same area.
Right, you're in the same area, and you just brought another thing to my attention, my memory, actually.
I'm
61,
you.
Here's the memory. So,
I remember now. I did give her listeners a piece of a paper and a pen in case she had ideas to write down.
Yeah, look what I wrote, CAPS, I didn't write this, but the whole idea with sharing expenses. So with the Ages Home and the Golden Girls style that we're coming out with, so the idea of sharing expenses is, you know, we share, some things are included. We're thinking about keeping electricity included because we have a cap on that. Like the water's in it, the sewer's in it, and something about electricity, but other things, you know. I'm bringing in digital health. It's a healthy and smart home. Smart home for the basics. We know what a smart home is about, and it's easy to use, and it's a healthy home. Fresh air exchange. We have no upper cabinets in the kitchen. It's all natural light, the paint color, psychology of color. There's a lot going in here.
I was really into that a few years ago, at my old place, but okay, go on.
But the other thing about is sharing expenses. I was going on with sharing expenses. See, here we go.
The collective, senior moment. Bringing in shared resources for people.
Right. So the whole thing with shared resources, and that's one of the things we're talking about. So if we want to bring in healthcare, now you're going to follow this for a second here.
I'm following.
I think it's great. If someone needs home care services, say, I'm Nancy, I'm one of the four in the house, I'm starting to need a little, I don't know, twice a week I need someone to come in. But there's two other people in there that may have the same need. So can we bring in one home care person to work on all three in the same day and they share that expense as opposed to individually paying for three separate people? So even sharing expenses in the healthcare aspect, to a point, can come in.
That's huge.
Right. So how much are we sharing? So it's an independent, turning into assisted living, to a point, these homes, right?
It's providing assistance.
Right. And providing assistance.
Because you don't want to call it assisted living because then you're getting into regulation.
No, I'm sorry. You're right. But it's homes that provide assistance and we can share. And so you're there, the physical support. You're there. You have the healthcare support. You have the social support.
And we'll just keep geeking out on it, and we talk about it other time.
I'm a little biased by
it. No, it's wonderful. And you do see, and I was had a long talk with someone yesterday about this idea of being able to have embedded resources there so people can share in the cost. Because one person bringing in one person to help them, it's expensive for them, there's minimums, but you start having. And it's why some of these, we do have independent living communities here that start having embedded home care staff just so that people can have a half an hour of services and not have to pay for four hours, things like that.
Is that like Crowsdale they do that?
Crowsdale is a continuing care retirement community, so they have, it's more, I don't want to talk about some.
Yeah, right.
There
right.
are some truly independent living apartments, and they have
their own.
They contract with staff that have offices there that can provide services, but because there's so many people that live there, they can have staff there more often because then there's a group of people that can use it.
And that's similar to the one in Chapel Hill.
So there's continuing care retirement communities and then there's independent living. Well, we had a whole show, but we'll do some more on that. But so, because I don't want to digress too much.
Right.
But the point of different kinds of communities, even if they're independent living, can bring in additional assistance. And then how to address this affordability issue. Mm. And so having more, and I think that's your point, having more people share in the costs and the resources.
Right, because we have independent assisted living facility. We have communities now, right?
And we don't have enough of them.
There it is. That's what I was waiting for you to say. Okay. That was the talk we had the other day. There's not enough. We can't build them fast enough.
Enough of them.
I keep banging on the table, right?
That's okay. I'm sorry. You can bang on the table.
I'm half Italian.
I was talking with someone yesterday about an idea, and I was like, I like the idea, and I like a lot of ideas because I want to see a lot more choices. I want to see a lot more innovation
and affordability.
And I want to see the affordability. I think for people who can pay for it, there's a lot of options, but there's really not. I mean, we do, especially here in Orange County, there's limited resources and opportunities. There's plenty more in Cary and Raleigh, but I talk to folks every day. I don't want to go to Cary and Raleigh. I want to stay in Chapel Hill. I want to stay in our area in Orange County. So I'm a fan of anything, but particularly a fan when you start to get to that more affordability. Will it classify as affordable housing? No. In most cases, no. But can you get more market affordability as opposed to sort of always on the luxury? But once you have a proof of concept and you have investors, then perhaps
that's
maybe
the stage we're at right
be.
Now that I have it. We have the talks in, but I have to break ground. And you know what that means. So I have to find I'm in the hunt to find the right area right now to break ground.
And I think it's smart to also be meeting with the government officials and planning. Yeah. And years ago, when I really started to get into city and regional planning and some of the work I was doing at UNC, and there was a real provocative speaker that came in and said, how are we, you know, zoning for inequity or planning for inequity? Because a lot of the issues that seem innocent enough, but we can have zoning regulations and planning regulations that seem like they're a good idea, but really what they do is do they sometimes inhibit innovation? Mm-hmm. You know,
innovation is the magic word.
You know, and that issue of can four unrelated people live together? Well, here in this town, we had brothel rules. They didn't want four unrelated young women living together. And so
now it's a national need.
It is
of
a national
people
need.
Staying together and finding solutions. This is my version of a solution. That's what that is.
It sneaks up in places you don't expect it. Like how many cars can be parked? You know, what are the parking? It's the density issues.
That's what I was speaking at the council yesterday.
Pets,
you know, and so they just say, you know, if you really want to address affordable housing and if you really want to address even more housing, you got to look and say and I'm not saying one thing or the other in terms of specific issues or developments right now. I'm just saying these are things to look at. When we have rules that were supportive of one thing, what's the unintended consequence? Because I would venture, I talk to a ton of people in this area and they want lots of innovation and lots of options for older adults. And then if you say, oh, did you realize that our zoning rules don't allow that? And they go, oh.
Right.
Well, that wasn't for that reason.
It's the truth. There's not enough knowledge of knowing. You really have to go. I had the planning department at my meeting yesterday, so I just don't want to guess.
So my point is that's why it was brilliant to bring them in and to have them be a part of it. And it sounds like you're bringing all kinds of lovely players in. So we have about 10 minutes left. So I want to make sure that you're able to talk about other things that you want to talk about. But I know we want to talk about the ageless home. So let me know if there's other things. For me, I also want to talk about the big picture of for people for whom the ageless home isn't an option because they're not looking to move or they're not in one of the areas. You know, what are some of the ways that you're working with people now or the trends that you're seeing? Because I know... Mm-hmm. Well, this is like four questions in one. You just did a program at the senior center. So we love your idea. What about for the vast majority of people?
Okay.
Because houses haven't been built yet.
Yeah, that's it. Perfect. So I have a class that I've been doing at the local senior centers around North Carolina, and I'm about to take it to have a class that's going to be online. So I'm going to create it online. It's called Should I Stay or Should I Go?
Oh.
And you're all going to think that, Should I Stay or Should I Go?
No.
Okay. So... I talk about should I stay, meaning how do we age in place? Mm-hmm. So if you want to stay at home because you do not want to move, regardless, your family's there, your kids are there, whatever, your friends, so you want to stay. So what is it going to take to stay? Because you realize there's some things at the house that really aren't working for you right now. Like I ask, what's the one question I ask? When you go in the kitchen and you need to get something on the top shelf, what do you do? Mm-hmm. Oh, I grab a chair and then I stand on it. I'm like, wow. You know, it's fall. You're going to have fall, we need fall prevention, right?
Yep.
So what do I, like, what
I'm
I do
not
is,
gonna use that one.
So I have a class about how do you want to stay? And if you want to stay, how do we age in place? So I teach about people about aging in place. So what does it take? So I go to people's homes and I do home assessments and I'll sit there. It's a fee for service, but I'll sit there and I'll go through everything because I know about construction. I had my own home remodeling construction company. And because I know about products that work in the house and because I know about medical equipment and because I know what I know, I can give a full assessment. It's not only that, I can actually give the names to people that can do the work for them that I've worked with, construction companies or whatever else. So for aging in place, I educate about it. And people need to understand it's just not having a good home design.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said before, do you have the health care? Do you have the finances to stay? Do you have the community? Not the community that you just make a phone call, but you need interactions, that isolation thing.
Even that neighbors that's going to notice. So, and this is, I mean, this is my all the time world, but like literally today, three of us around the breakfast table, three adults sitting around because friends visiting. And all of us have, there are three of us, all three of us have parents who are aging in their own homes, and there's some hardcore complexities. And so what's interesting I see is also the interdependence that people don't realize about, like that decision you're making impacts others.
Others, right.
And so, and there's crises involved with all of us in some different ways. And so we talked about our different experiences, but that we all shared something that we're all in our 50s, and we all have parents that are living independently in their own homes, and at different levels, those the situation is not quite working as ideal in different ways. And so it involves us. And so I think I'm getting at, like, this is such a big issue, but when people are making these decisions, to look at who is their support circle and is it also working for them? And, or do they need to create it?
Mm-hmm.
So again, this very idea good. Of community.
That's itself community. So community, right, that you bring in, the community you need, whether it's people close to you or not. It's all about that. Heather, like you and I, we I preach we it. Just, we're from the same choir.
I was going to ask a question there, and I think I was just telling a story or venting. I don't think that turned into a question. But
no, that's fine.
I am sort of fascinated about these topics that you've been in this for multiple decades now. These trends or these topics or these myths. What is it, or the excitement, you know, that you have to keep coming back to? Because we were in a room with 20 people the other day, and this is old hat to us, but it's brand new for them. And
well, every day someone turns 65, right? 10,500 people a day turn 65 in this country. And this is going to go on for how long? In 2011, it started with the baby boomers, and it's going to go to 2029. And that's why the aging population, this is what's happening. This is why the government's like, what are we doing with all these people, right? So we can talk about it. What keeps me here? Is that your question? What keeps me here?
Well, I think, and what are the big trends? Like, what is it that you're excited that you haven't had a chance to talk about yet that are the big topics and trends that people continually ask you about if we haven't been able to already mention it?
But it's just like, you mentioned tiny homes. So
yes.
I'm going to have a tiny home. I'm going to have one put in my backyard. Well, it's called an accessory dwelling unit. So it's ADU is different than a tiny home,
right? Do zoning allow it? We have to change some things
in
this community.
So Raleigh, when I was in Raleigh, wouldn't allow. So an ADU, an accessory dwelling unit, is a small home. You can call it a tiny home on the same property as a primary house. So say I have a house and I happen to be on a quarter acre and I have a piece of land in the back that can handle a 600 square foot apartment. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but it's a little house.
Mm-hmm.
So that's called an accessory dwelling unit. And you run the electricity there and the plumbing and all that stuff. And there was a big push years ago. I was in Raleigh in the planning department. They're like, no, we don't have it. We don't want this. We don't want that in my backyard. We don't want, if they're going to rent it, we don't want the extra cars. We don't.
And we don't want the cars. That's where it gets the parking, or in this area, fine if it's for older adults, but we don't want students living there. But go on. Sorry.
So I was actually putting a whole committee together because fire and policemen can't even live in Raleigh where they work because it's too expensive. They have to drive an hour and a half in every day. Mm. So I was saying, why can't we have it? And people are willing to put it in their backyards to house, to rent to
other
fire
people.
And police. Even
there's
for
a
that,
big issue
they're like,
around
no.
teachers. I heard there was a group in a community not too far away that wanted to do more housing so the teachers could live near the school. And again, that's where I just say, let's really look into some of these the zoning room, planning rooms, and have some thoughtful discussions about it, because that's what I hear. Oh, if we have the ADUs, then there's more parking. And at a point, people have to say, yeah, we're going to have more cars. Is it worth it? I don't know. It's just, it's a thoughtful conversation to say, well, if we're going to allow more families and more intergenerational families to stay together, but that may result
required.
In more cars, but we'll have affordable housing. These are going to be community trade-off discussions.
And the changes have to be made.
They have to be made in the planning, and everybody, well, if I can't do this, who's your elected official? If I do this, it's going to, they're not going to be able to be elected. We're not
going
to go there with that. But I do want to say this. There are so many things about aging in place but the age community. Every day someone's turning 65. So when do we start aging?
And forget 65.
They call 65, 60,
53.
50?
Right. And as we say,
so you have aging parents and you have younger children, sandwich generation.
Wheelchair accessible, stroller accessible. I mean, we all need easier accommodation. And we started the conversation before we turned the mics on about heights. We are different heights around this table.
That's why my kitchens have no upper cabinets. They're just home.
Goodness. Which
I'm
is
telling you.
Funny because
I built mine for a tall person, though.
You did.
These women across me are super
don't
tall.
Don't say Amazon.
Are super tall. I was going to say are not vertically challenged, as some people call. We're very different heights. And so for me, I bought a house that was custom made before us, but the previous owners, I think, were also 5 feet. So it actually really worked. Where the shelves are, and I've been to some retirement communities, and I'm shocked at how high their things are.
I cannot wait for the Aegis design to go into those communities.
I've heard that from some CAPS people, some certified aging in place, will go into some of our retirement communities and say, well, that doesn't make any sense. But I think this issue of it's not just for those 65. It's all
it's
ages,
for people.
All generation.
People. All ages and all phases of life. Right. It's irrelevant of your ability. It's irrelevant of your age. It's irrelevant. If, that's why the ageist home, by default, it works for every generation. If you build and design any service or product geared to the aging population, by default,
anybody,
it works for every generation.
Right.
And we just have to look at that.
Well, I did not mean for this show to be a commercial on the ageless home, though, and it's not. We are, you know, we are sponsored by the Orange County Department on Aging, but it was, I usually end the show, but you've already shared it with me. What are your hopes for the future? I feel like the hopes for the future is that the ageless home is able to take shape.
Well, no, that's not my only hope. My true hope in my heart.
But I was going to link to a quick thing, and then we're going to end with what's in your heart.
Okay.
But for those people who are interested in finding out more about this, so I was saying we're not a commercial. That said, people if we've piqued their interest, is there a way that they can learn more about the ageless
home? I have a short description on my website. So the original website's down. You can go to the ageless, A-G-E-L-E-S-S, home.com.
Okay.
And you'll see a version of the Golden Girl homes that are coming out.
Okay. So that, thank you, because I wanted to have people be able to connect with you to understand a little bit more. But then let's talk about, with our 2 minutes left, we have that. What are your hopes for the future?
So my hopes for just what's going on, I am so well versed into the aging population since I was 14, right? Mm-hmm. And now here I am the aging population. That's how hard, that's how long I've been at this. But in my heart.
And it is me or something.
So in my heart, I just wish for one thing. I want people to open up, not say their wallets. The people called open up your wallets. Open up, we need this. Yeah, that we need that. But I need, what we need is for people to open up their mind. Open up your mind, which opens up your heart, which in turn opens up your values and your beliefs and your givings for people in need, regardless of age. Let's just go out there, regardless of age. We need the housing to support. We need the communities to support. We need the platform to support. And if you're there and you have a platform to support for anything or any need, please, it's an amazing thing she does with the radio show and at the Orange County aging and the center and everything else. But if we need so much, and if we don't get it, all starts with the politicians. And I'm going to go there for one hot second.
Go there.
It goes. So right now I have I'm meeting with the congresswoman, the mayor, and the governor's representatives in the very near future about what I'm trying to do with housing. And if I can't get them to just open their mind to say, let's give something a shot. And in turn, may help this little nugget, but this nugget's going to bring another nugget. And that's my heart. That's, mm-hmm. that's the only thing I can hope for, because nobody can undo to redo what's already happened.
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you. And you're preaching to the choir here.
Yes.
We are with you. I cannot thank you enough. Valerie Jurek is here. And again, if you want to learn more about her, www.theagelesshome.com. She just whispered it to me. Thank you. It's so great. I cannot thank you enough for coming on the Aging Well Together show. Alicia, I love you. I'm glad you're back with us. And while we're sharing love, so much love to WCOM. LPFM Chapel Hill Carrboro and their fun station for letting us have the Aging Well Together show. And I would be remiss if I did not also do a shout out to the Orange County Department on Aging for our fabulous show. And with that, thank you, everyone. Be well, be healthy, stay cool in this heat. And now we're going to let you listen to a little bit of the Robert Bradford Quartet. Take care. Thank you.